stay standing on your feet. We're going to do a little different this morning. We're not going to do our Luke 4 this morning. We're going to do Psalm 91. Praise the Lord. So I want us to all say it in sync, in one accord. Amen. Let's say it now. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Come on now. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. You know, you would do good to get that psalm. Write it down on a little piece of paper, get it laminated, and read that to yourself every day when you get up. So many wonderful promises that are contained therein, including healing. Because He said what? All these plagues won't even come near your house. That's sickness and disease, glory to Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, one quick announcement. All you guys that got some muscles around here, we need your help afterwards. When we get done with healing school today, we need to get all the tables out downstairs to be able to set up for our luncheon on Sunday. So if anybody can hang out afterwards and help us out with that, we'd really greatly appreciate that. Amen? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll invite Robert on up to speak. Father, we just thank You this morning that, Lord, Your anointing is upon Your servant. And I thank You, Lord, that You will speak the oracles of God through him, that Your very sayings will come out of his mouth, and I thank You for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and power that is present in this place today to heal every manner of sickness and disease that's represented in this room. So if you like your sickness right now, I'd encourage you to go ahead and leave, because it's in serious danger right now. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Carlos, set that thing up and then come up here. Set that up. Come up here. I want you guys to hear testimony. You know, we preach and we teach all the time. But where the rubber meets the road, that's the good stuff. Amen. You know, and I just want Carlos, he just shared a quick testimony with me this morning. I didn't get to hear the whole thing. But I want him to share it with all of you, too. So tell us what happened.
You're embarrassing me.
That's it. I'm embarrassing him, he says.
Let's see, after service last night, we went home and... after service last night, went home. I was with Mark and we, and Mark ate and everything, and my daughter had some friends over at the time, and then it was time for him to leave, so he left, and I noticed that my daughter was talking with this young lady in the on the porch, and I went out there, and they're talking about Jesus, all right, and so they led me into the conversation, and about 10 minutes later, that lady gave her heart to Jesus.
Amen.
Big celebration.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful? You know, no matter how much we preach, no matter how much we teach, that's where it's at. A soul coming into the kingdom, that the light goes on, and that they awake to righteousness, amen, and the love of God. I mean, that's where it's all at. That is where it's all at, amen? All right, so let me get a show of hands here just to get a little assessment of the room before we proceed. Hello. And let me see. Who of you is here looking to be healed of something? Raise your hand. About six, okay. And how many of y'all are here that are here expecting to be able to lay hands on people and see results when you pray for people for healing? Another six. And the rest of you are just here, right? Just present, and we'll see what happens. Amen? We'll just see what happens. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, hopefully both people will be satisfied today in Jesus' name. So go ahead and grab your Bibles. And let's take a look at the scriptures, shall we? How many of you are born again? Raise your hand. How many of you are water baptized? How many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? A separate experience from being born again. All right? And how many of y'all pray in your heavenly language?
Hallelujah.
Amen. We're not done yet. How many of you operate in some form of a spiritual gift? Really good. Really, really good. All right, really good. That's really, really good. Wow. This is going to be exciting. All we need to do is just hang out in fellowship. We all have it all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So then my last question. How many of y'all would like to see more results in your prayer life? I don't mean in your communion with God, although yes, but in the manifestation of who you are. Amen. All of us. Praise God for that. Hi, Lori. So let's get our Bibles out. Let's go over a couple of things. The first thing I want to go ahead and look at, let's go to the beginning of John, Matthew. Let's go to the beginning of Matthew and just start there. Matthew chapter 1, I believe. Let me just get there and I'll tell you. No, let's go to chapter 4. Okay. So the biggest majority was people that want to get more results in their prayer life than what you have right now. Is that right? Okay, that's the same for me also. I get results, but I want more results. There are some things that I pray for, and I don't see anything different about that person, and neither do they when I get done. Other things, absolute miracles take place, just profound miracles. So how can that be that one person, absolute miracle, and the person right next to him, nothing. Nothing. Who's got the answer? Raise your hand. You notice mine didn't go up. Fred's got the answer.
It's all in God's timing.
It's all in God's timing. I kind of disagree with that. Because that means that God's in heaven saying who will be healed and who won't be healed. And that's not really true. God made healing for absolutely everybody. By the stripes of Jesus, every sickness, every infirmity, every disability, every bit of poverty, it's completely been dealt with. That's a fact.
Let me put that another way.
All right.
It's all according to, I agree with what you said, but it's not manifested when we think it ought to be manifested. It's manifested when God wants it manifested. How about that?
Closer.
I'm getting closer.
Closer.
That's encouraging.
It's much closer. Sis. Okay, she says it could be a stronghold that we maybe thought we've laid down at the cross, but we haven't totally laid it down at the cross yet. Caddis, I would say that is a portion of the answer. And that's a very good thing. Do you all know what a stronghold is?
Oh, yeah. Mindset.
A mindset. That's right. It's a habitual way of thinking. An habitual way of thinking, like a fortress. It fortifies you. It strengthens you. I'll give you a testimony of myself. Okay? I had a horrible anger problem. Horrible anger problem. And what anger promised me was this. That if I got angry enough, I could get rid of whatever I was afraid of. I could demolish that person. If I got angry enough, I could beat up that other person. That's what anger promised me. And then it got woven into my heart that anger saved me a lot of times when I was afraid. And that's what anger promised me. Do you know, anger is a spirit and it's a liar. Just want to know, it comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It never is there for good. So in its promise of being able to protect me in frightening situations, it stole from me my ability to have intimacy with other people because it kept me guarded all the time. I was afraid, so it became a wall or a fortress that I clothed myself in. And that robbed me from being intimate with other people. Well, if I can't be intimate with people, I can't be intimate with God either. Because God's invisible. And how can I say I love God who I can't see if I can't love the very people that are right in front of me? So my relationship with people is the mimic or the equal of my relationship with God. Where I really stand with God is shown in my relationships with people. Just to let you know. So this anger, what it did was it promised me to protect me, but it robbed me of intimacy. And I almost killed a wife that I had by being so angry. I was strangling her because I was in rage. And I came to myself, realized, what am I doing? If I kill you, I'll go to jail for the rest of my life. See, my fear was that I would go to jail, not that she would die. That's anger talking, even then. And so I had to get delivered of that stronghold. It was a fortress. It was a habitual way of thinking. It was a demonic influence that I used to strengthen and protect me. And what I had to do was when I was able to see it through prayer of other people who pointed it out to me, when I was actually able to see that it was a demon I was in agreement with. As a Christian, having been to heaven, have met Jesus, operating my spiritual gifts, still, part of me was absolutely influenced by the devil in the way that I thought. And so when I saw that, whoever was taught praying with me at times said, tell anger to leave. You know what? It would have been easier for me to empty the ocean with a teaspoon. It was horribly hard for me. I was shaking and gnashing my teeth. And that thing had a grip on me that I didn't even know it was there. And then I said, anger, go from me in Jesus' name. And I said, get out of here. And I said, didn't want to let go. And I said, I don't want you in my life anymore. Get out of me. And then whew, it left. Is that what it is, righteous indignation? Anyway, whew, that thing left me. And it's never had great power over me since. I've never, ever, ever had that I want to kill somebody stuff. Okay? That's a stronghold. Okay? It can be other things too. Like, you know, it could be a stronghold that I'm powerless. I don't have the power to fix my life. Somebody else has to rescue me. I can't do it. So God's got to rescue me here. Or my mother or my father or somebody or the government has to rescue me. Somebody. I don't have the power to live the life that God purposed for me to live. So now I'm going to take the back seat and let it happen to me instead of me pursuing it. That's a stronghold, you guys. That's the spirit of this world that has lied to us and kept us a prisoner from stepping out.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Okay. Sis. Okay, so I'm going to repeat with her because I didn't have the microphone there. So what she's saying is these people that prayed for you, she didn't think that they could do it, that God's the only one that can do that to get you set free, right? Right. So here's the truth. God already set us free from the power of the devil. But he lied to me. The devil, the spirit of anger lied to me. And said that if you get angry enough, I'll help you get rid of whoever that person is that's hurting you. And anger made me be able to lash out at people until they left me alone, or fight with people until they gave up. It strengthened my natural man to protect me from being afraid. Like the serpent, yes. So, all I needed to do was recognize that it was the devil, and I was able to make him leave. But I had to actually want to be free of him. I had to want to be free. That's right. And she said, so it was others that was pointing this out to. Yes, I was praying with some other people and it showed up because I was very, very, very angry at some people in my life. Very angry with them. And I said I could forgive them, but I never wanted to be around them. I didn't want to talk to them. I didn't want to be reminded of them. And I certainly wasn't going to do any loving action for them. I wanted them away from me. I said, God, I forgive them because I'm supposed to. But my heart wasn't free yet. I was still in bondage to that stronghold. Amen? Okay, so go ahead. Hold on 1 second if you don't mind. Thank you.
You know, in a case like though where the man at the gate, beautiful, he had not released any strongholds.
Nope.
The demoniac had not released any strongholds.
Nope.
So, you know, it's not a cookie cutter. It's not
nope.
a cookie cutter situation.
You're right.
It is a situation where Peter and John said, you know, such as I have give out thee, I don't have silver or gold.
That's right.
But in the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And when the demoniac, all he did was he saw Jesus. And they had to flee. But I'm not sure, you know, when we meet people, we don't know the strongholds in their lives, but we are to lay hands on them and pray for them anyway.
Yes.
It's not a requirement on their part.
Right. I agree with you. We are not in dispute. First of all, strongholds are not the reason we don't see more power operating in our lives. It's one of several and many things. First of all, we pray for people. Why? Because we're told, he says. He says, because we need to. Because we love them. All that's true. We are told to, and we love them. Faith works by love. That's how faith operates, by love. Not by ego, arrogance, or desire of fame. It is by love. So when we see somebody bound, we want them set free. Right?
Right.
Right. So we want to get them free. But what we want to see is more results than we're getting. Right? So how do we do that? Strongholds may be one thing. How else? Trust me. Listen, you guys actually know the answer. You really know the answer. So go ahead and share. How else?
What he said.
Say that one more time with the microphone.
I think it has to do with how much confidence we have in God's word and his promises to act on his word, and that he will perform his word. I think that's one thing that has to do with, you know, how much do we actually believe what we're asking God to do? Do we believe that he will do it, he's able to do it, that his word is true, and that it's going to work every time if we obey what his word says?
Yes. Absolutely true. Will we still have difficulties? Will everybody get healed every time? Do we plug away anyway? Yes. There you go, you guys. You guys are on it. Let's go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 4 now. We got that all set up. We're all on the same page. Look what Jesus did. John the Baptist was the first one that changed the whole dynamics of the world. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. So his testimony, what he started proclaiming, is what changed the direction of the kingdom, right? He was the first one to talk about the kingdom of God is coming to men through Jesus Christ, who was the dawn, the new light. Amen? So look at this in verse 1. Then Jesus, this is after Jesus was baptized by John, okay? And he came up, and the heavens were opened to him, and his father said, "This is my beloved son." Okay, now listen. Jesus was baptized. He came up. The heavens were opened to him and to John. And the Spirit of God descended onto Jesus and rested on Jesus. Right? So now, his eyes are open to the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is on him. Now what happened next? Okay? His eyes are open, and the Spirit of God, heaven's wide open to him. He has an open heaven before him. And the Spirit of God is on him. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That word devil is diablo. That word diablo, you know what it means? I'll just read a couple of its things. Traducer, in other words, blamer. False accuser. A slanderer. Someone who tells lies about you. Someone who defames you. That's a devil. Let's go on a little further. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came, the tempter, that was the devil, right? And you know what a tempter is? A tempter is someone that scrutinizes you, who examines you, who tests you, and is there to entice you. That's what happened to Jesus after he was baptized in water, had the Holy Spirit, heaven was wide open, then the devil came to do these things. Why? All right, we'll go on. The reason why is this, and all of us need to get into this part of it. Just because you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit does not mean you have overcome this world and the things in this world. You have three enemies that are against you once you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. And those three enemies you'll always have with you. So you're not going to be able to kill those enemies. So what you have to do is actually get the victory over them yourself. You have to overcome them. And the way you overcome them is up to you. Because we all got to fight our battle. It's not against whether God has opened heaven to us or we're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's we're going to be tempted, tested, examined, scrutinized, lied about, falsely accused, and everything else. And it's going to come through what? Your carnal mind. Your natural human mind. That's how the devil's going to come in. And what he's going to do is tell you things and speak to you and share things about you, why it doesn't work, what's going to happen, and all these things. And in your natural mind, he's going to come. And look what Jesus did all three times. Listen, for Jesus, the devil translated him up on top of a temple, translated him on top of a mountain and promised him that he would give him all the kingdoms of the world if he'd just worship him. He was looking for anything that he could find in Jesus to get Jesus to agree with him, to come under in submission to him. And he was looking for that, and he couldn't find anything in Jesus, so he left. Right after that, Jesus' miracles and his ministry started because his heart was purified. His heart was pure before God. He was tempted in every area. A lot of us don't go on a 40-day fast to really go for it, to see what's really in our hearts. But so How do we take advantage of the devil? How do we use him as a tool? Because he will come. So here's our three enemies. I think I've shared this before, but for those of you that haven't heard it, who are the three enemies that we're always going to have? The devil is always going to be your enemy. Jesus saw him fall like lightning, right? He has been triumphantly dethroned, hasn't he? Does he still operate in the world?
Oh, yeah.
See? So, if one guy got the victory over him, he got the victory for all of us. Right? Jesus got the victory for all of us. But we have to keep the devil in his place because he's a liar. He works under subterfuge. He tries to find a way to worm his way into your life to harm you, destroy you, to keep you powerless, to make you feel like you're inadequate, like you have something to do with it, like it's all on your shoulders and you're falling short. That's the devil's job.
Right.
Listen, this is really good news. Once you realize his job is to steal from you what you have, guess what? Once he comes, instead of believing him, realize you've actually got it. That's why he's coming to try to take it. Are you with me? This is really good news.
Amen.
He is here to test your heart and to see if he can get you to believe him. Sickness, disease, there's no money, what if people hate me? I don't care what it is. He will come with something. That proves, you guys, that you actually got it. You actually have it, and he's trying to get your attention off of it so that you can, a fake pain. Oh, this pain's coming. I'm sick. Oh, and see if he'll get you to agree instead of saying, pain, you have no right in my body. Get out of here in Jesus' name. Jesus bore my pain. Out. See, where are you going to be when that thought comes? The second enemy you're going to have, and it's never, ever going to leave as long as you walk in flesh and blood, and that is the spirit of this world, the natural thought process of the globe, this planet Earth. It is under a curse, and the way that it thinks is its value is in the temporariness of this planet. Things that will eternally not remain, like gold, silver, treasures, fame, wealth, power, whatever these things are. Whatever it is, passions, lusts being satisfied, those kinds of things, the spirit of this world is just trying to navigate you down that road. Okay? And when you are walking in the Holy Spirit and in the mind of Christ, the spirit of this world is against you. It doesn't think like you do. So you can't make a friend of the spirit of this world. You're never going to convert the spirit of this world. What you can do is, like our friend Carlos did, is share the love of God and let them let go of the spirit of this world and on to the kingdom of heaven. Amen? The third enemy that we're going to have to deal with, and all of us are going to have to deal with it, and it's our flesh. Our flesh, our own physical flesh and blood, it is going to have its own cravings and passions. It's going to want its way. It's going to want to lead from time to time. And it's just part of the deal, and we have to take authority over it. That's why we deny our flesh. That's why we take authority over self. That's why we operate in a spiritual attribute called self-control. Because we have to keep it under our dominion. We have to keep the spirit of this world under our dominion. We have to keep the devil under our dominion. We have to be the one that is in charge and says the way it's going to be. If we don't stay active in our fellowship with the Lord and in his word, as our sister shared earlier, then what happens is the faith that we have, the ability to see into the spirit that we have, if it doesn't stay sharp and honed, if we don't hold on to it and constantly groom it, then the spirit of this world, our fleshly desires, and the devil himself will start squashing out our flame, our light, our brightness. And it happens so quickly, so subtly, that now when that pain comes or that fear comes, it tends to be a bigger obstacle than it needs to be. Amen?
Amen.
So at those times, that's when we look for somebody to pray for us, because we're a captive at the moment. And we need to get out from underneath that captivity. So we look for somebody else to pray and set us free. Amen? And that's where these gifts come in, these spiritual gifts of healing comes in and miracles come in. Who operates in the gift of healing? It was a supernatural gift God just gave you. You didn't do anything to get it. It just started working in you. Three people. Okay? Four people. For me, five people. For me, I don't have the gift of healing. I didn't get the gift of healing. The Lord gave me orative gifts, speaking gifts. And those are the ones that just came naturally to me and are what God placed in me to speak. But not healing. So you know what I've had to do? I have had to press in to healing. Listen, you guys, this is important for you all right here. I'm not waiting on God to give me something that I don't have. I'm not waiting for God to just in me this gift of healing, and so all of a sudden, everyone I touch, they get healed. That's not what I do. You know what I'm doing? I pursue it because it's available to everyone. Let's go real quick to Romans 14. I was talking to Pastor Trey about this yesterday, and Romans 14. I'm sorry. It's 1 Corinthians. What am I thinking? It's 1 Corinthians 14. Do you still love me anyway? Thank you. You know, I have a t-shirt that my wife got me. I love it. It says, I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven. I love it. Romans, next chapter over is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I absolutely love that t-shirt. All right. Look at this in verse 1. I believe verse 1 of chapter 14. It says, pursue love. Isn't that important? That we pursue love. Why do we want people to be healed? Because we love them. And there's more. I'm going to share more. And secondly, and desire spirituals. My word in italics says gifts. But especially that you prophesy. So here it is. We are to desire spirituals. And it even says up here in chapter 12, if you look at it real quick, verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophet, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and a variety of tongues. Right? So God does set those in the church. But is it that they're called to those things first or not? I don't know definitively. But I do know this. Because healing is available, Jesus said that we lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Didn't he say that? Okay. I had no results that anybody was getting healed in my life. None at all. But I decided to believe this anyway. Because I was told I need to lay hands on the sick. And I went through a lot of things of vacillating. And then one day I decided to just believe it. And so I started praying for some people and I started seeing some things happening. But then I started praying for people and things didn't happen anymore. And then I thought it had something to do with me. And then I started stepping back because it wasn't working. I didn't want to be embarrassed anymore. Thinking, telling people something's going to happen and nothing did. I went through that stage. And I quit that. And then I went through another stage where I got some more revelation and saw somebody else healing and they told me their stories on what could do. And that built up my faith again. So I started trying again and I started getting some results. And then somebody told me about believing God regardless of what you believe yourself. And that's like a switch went on and something changed in my heart. Something changed where I'm going to pop. Something has changed. I was believing and pressing and believing and pressing and getting results, not getting results. Sometimes it happened, sometimes it didn't. But I kept going. And what I stopped doing was asking God for stuff. I started believing that it was already true for me. I started believing that when he said it is finished on the cross, that it actually was finished. And I started taking authority over my heart and my mind. And people would ask me to pray for them, and I'm going to tell you, this is what I was doing. I'm going to be absolutely honest with y'all. All right, is that okay? So this will help some people. Somebody would walk up to me, and I would see that they needed to be healed. And you know what instantly happened in my heart? Fear gripped my heart. Then I start seeing myself assessing that person and on how difficult I thought that healing was going to be on a 1 to 10 scale or something like that. And I started saying, oh, no, not that one. Go to that person over there. I'm being honest. Here's what happened, though. Once they got there, I am a captive audience. There's nothing I can do except pray. And you know what? I noticed that as I was faithful to pray, they would tell me what they wanted me to pray for, but I noticed in my heart something else was rising up. And there was another voice talking to me that wasn't my afraid mind. And it was this quiet, subtle, very pervasive, kind of knowing voice would just say, pray for this. And so they'd be telling me this list of things, and none of them were what that voice said to me. So this is how I started, and I may still do this to some of you sometimes. I say this to them, I says, I'm going to pray for what you asked me to pray for, but may I also pray for what the Lord is telling me? And everyone has said yes so far, everyone. And so I would do exactly what I said. I'd pray for their things that they said, but then I would pray what the Lord said, and man, boom. Something would break inside of them. It might have been an emotional thing or a forgiveness thing or a relationship thing or whatever or a childhood thing. And boom, it would break. And then we would pray for their thing and their thing would get cleared up. So here's what I'm trying to share. God is with me 100% whether I can feel him or know him, or have experienced him up to this point so far. And if that's true, then he's with you 100%, whether you can feel him or sense him at all. 100%. And if that's true, then the only thing that's stopping us is this mindset that thinks that our natural mind has to somehow align with God and be spiritual. That's a lie. The natural mind, we have to actually shut it down and put it aside. I'll give you more examples. I was at my house, and somebody was over for dinner. Somebody was over for dinner. Thank you, Lord. Somebody was over for dinner. And the wife of this person's back was hurting really, really bad, and their neck was hurting bad. And I said, what's going on? They said, oh, just from time to time, my neck and my back just starts hurting bad. And I said, why don't you sit down and let me see your legs, how long they are? Because sometimes if you got one leg a little longer than the other, then what happens is it tilts your pelvis and it puts pressure on your spine, which can compress a nerve and create some pain in your body. And so I said, let's just look. And we looked, and the wife's feet, if you can, how can I show this? If this is their feet, they were like this long. Say I'm looking at the bottom of their feet. There was like this much difference. That much difference in the length of one leg, right? So I can't do anything about that, but God can. So my natural mind said, oh no. That's when my natural mind, oh no. Yeah. But then that quiet little pervasive little knowing kind of voice, which is the Spirit of God operating from heaven and the spiritual realm, the reality that's eternal, was talking and said, tell everybody to come and watch this. What? Yeah. Okay. So I told everybody at my house, I said, everybody, come and watch this. So they all came over and they came and watched it. I had her put up her feet and I'm just sharing. I was kind of shaking a little bit, holding the feet up, you know. Just, okay, I'm just being obedient to all I'm doing. And I just said, leg, grow out in the name of Jesus. And we're all staring, looking right at this leg. And sure enough, it went, zoop, and grew right out in front of all of us. I'm going to tell you something. My wife took off running and started running around the house in a great big old circle. And it's real, it's real, it's real, it's real. Just so excited. She's just so excited. It's like in the cartoons, you know, when you see the guy jump out, start running, and then he took off and started moving. That's how she was. And it was very exciting. Since that day, everybody's leg grows out that I pray for. Not even one hasn't since that day. I haven't run on across very many of them, though, but they all grow out when I do. What happened right there? I pressed in, a way of thinking was broken in me, and I obeyed the Holy Spirit over myself. I just did it.
Stepped out in faith.
That's right. I've done that before, and nothing's happened. I remember, I trusted in the Lord. Listen, it's Him who does the works. Right? Here's the thing. It's like, we've talked about this before. It's like electricity in the wall. If, let's just say you've paid your power bill. There's always electricity in the wall, isn't there? It's always on. But unless you plug something into it, you're not going to prove there's electricity. You got to plug something into that electricity that needs electricity for it to show itself, right?
Amen.
That's the same way with us. It's not you and me that determines how much power flows through us. It's you and me that determines if we're going to believe God or not. Now I'll tell you what's been going on recently, okay? I'm just giving my testimony so that maybe you can glean something from it. As I've been praying for people, and I go through that, this works, that doesn't work, maybe it will, maybe it won't, and I started getting through all that stuff has pretty much dropped away now. And I know that it's happening, but I don't pay attention to it. I don't let it have any strength anymore. And I go straight for praying for people now. You know why? Because I've had a few people get healed for no reason, just because I laid hands on them or spoke to it. And so it's proven to my heart that this is real. My heart now knows it's true. And since not my mind, because I read it in the Bible or someone else told me, my heart has proven that it's true. And since my heart has proven that it's true, now I know it's true. And so now when I pray for people now, that resistant thing, strongholds, way of thinking, doesn't grip me like it used to. You know what happens now? An excitement that it's going to go. Something's changed inside of me. There's an excitement that it's going to go. Listen, Jesus spent 40 days being tested by the devil. And he proved every time, don't tempt God, devil, out of here. He didn't self-protect. He didn't self-defend. He didn't justify. He referred back to God, back to God, back to God. Right? And he left. It takes us longer because we don't put ourselves in situations where we're tempted and tested, where the devil can lie to us, where it doesn't work. We need to believe God and go. So now then, I've noticed this, that the devil can't get me in some areas that he used to be able to get me in. He can't. It doesn't work with me anymore because I know the truth now in a few areas. I absolutely know for a fact he can't touch me. It has to manifest now. And it's broken, and so it does. But not in all the areas. I've still got things that are bigger than I can comprehend at this moment. But I'm moving in that direction. And so God is faithful to give me more people to pray for. And I am faithful to pray for them. And as we do, when somebody brings the faith to the table, whoever brings the faith to the table, we see results. Now, like Roy said earlier, listen, sometimes it's the other people's faith when they come. And here's it. Whoever does the coming brings the faith. Whoever does the coming. If I'm going to you to pray for you, then I'm bringing my faith to you to be healed, to believe God. But if I'm standing here and you're coming to me to be healed, you must believe that you'll be healed if I pray for you. That's why you're coming. And so you're bringing the faith and receive your gift. In the Bible, those are the only two kinds of people there were. Somebody came. Either Jesus came to them or they came to him. Amen. Whoever does the coming has the faith. Yes. We're all commanded what? To soul win? Yes. But it's a commandment in telling you to go to increase the kingdom of God, not to punish you if you're disobedient. Listen, let me just put that on pause a second because you had something to say also. I'll answer that in 1 second. Okay, two things, and then we're going to answer your question. Two things. One, we don't know if 6 times would have worked or not. We just don't know. We know that they were told 7. So here's what happens. When somebody is told to do something, okay, them doing it shows they have faith. No matter what their head is saying, the fact that they actually walk it out means that in their heart of hearts, they actually believe this is going to work. Even if they're saying, I don't see how this could possibly work, it just doesn't make sense to me. Even if that's coming out, the fact that they're doing it, they're obeying that thing. And they'll get the results because they're participating in whatever the word of the Lord was. And it's the Holy Spirit. It's not you and me. Like I said, when these things happen, that voice inside of me, that it's not even in words sometimes, but it is the presence of God himself, the Holy Spirit in me, through intuition, through knowing, through an inkling, through that is how he leads me. He's the one that does the healings. He's the Spirit of God. And when I am in union with the Spirit of God, the things of the Spirit of God manifest through me. And the same with you. So if you're coming by faith, then you're tapped into the Holy Spirit and you'll receive what you're believing God for. But there is a spirit of this world. There is a devil and there is a flesh.
Oh, yeah.
And if we tune into that, it'll rob us.
Amen.
It will rob us. Now, the only thing that can override that is if my faith, if I'm absolutely convinced by God that if I pray for you, you will receive what I'm praying for you. But there's still natural stuff to deal with. Even Jesus had one guy who, because of where he lived and what that situation of that city was, he had to take him outside of the city to get him healed because it was just such a thick spirit of the world there. It was just so anti-Christ there that he had to take him out. There are adversaries. Listen, I could pray for you and you could be totally healed right here, or Pastor Trey or Minton or any one of you can pray for somebody. And the pain will leave their body right then, right? But what happens in 2 hours when the pain comes back? Do you say, well, I must not have gotten it? No, that's the liar coming. That's the liar coming and knocking back on your door and saying, see, it didn't work. So you get to decide. And because the liar comes through your thoughts and your voice and your mind, you go, oh, well, I guess. And then all of a sudden your little list starts off.
But I have been put under condemnation because, I mean, I believe the word of God
mm-hmm.
is true. And I go for prayer. And they think just because because I just got out of the hospital a couple of days ago, that my faith is not strong enough, that I'm not believing, and that I've got to work up all this faith in order to be healed. And it, I tell you, that is a strong tool that the enemy uses to beat you up with.
Yes, ma'am. And if you know in 1 Peter, it says that we have trials and tribulations that we're going to walk through in this world. And therefore our testing, they are to test us to see where we really stand and what we really believe. Remember the four Hebrew boys, or the three Hebrew boys that went into the flames, and there was a fourth man with them? Before they threw them in, they said, God can deliver me from this, like you've said with this cancer fighting you. But if he doesn't, so be it. It's not going to change that the goodness of God and who he is. It's not going to change it. You're saved. You're blood bought. You will forever be in the kingdom of God. You have rewards and an inheritance in heaven. And that's just the fact of the matter. It's Amen. True. Whether you ever see a physical healing in your body or not, that is true.
Amen.
And what we need to do...
believed that God was going to heal her, and it kept growing and growing, and she had to literally hold it up with her hand, and it got, I mean, her head was over to the side, but she said, I'm healed, I'm just waiting on the manifestation. So 2 years later, the cancer just fell off of her face one day.
Absolutely.
So it can happen. I mean, healing can happen in so many different ways.
We can't put God in a box. I've been healed over the television. Marilyn Hickey and her daughter Sarah, I'm telling you the truth. I was one of these guys, and I'm being honest so that we can help and learn here. I believe that God used men, and that women, I don't know where I learned it, but a woman's not a man. I'm saying that gently. And so God will use a man, but not a woman. I don't know where I learned that. Nobody ever taught me that. My father certainly didn't act that way. But it was in my heart. Somehow it got in there. And I'll tell you what, God used a woman to heal me. Marilyn Hickey and Sarah on TV. And I used to think, those crazy ladies. Those crazy ladies. And you know what? I was still watching it, though, wasn't I? I was still watching it, though, while I was making fun of them in my own little way while I had coffee in the morning before I had to go to work. And this day, my leg was weak, and it was losing all of its strength in the knee. And when I do go downstairs, it was like if I was to go down a stair, I was actually nervous because I would go this way. Because if I went this way, I was afraid my leg would buckle. And so I'd go downstairs this way so that I could catch myself if the leg gave away. And I noticed that I had to start making concessions for this weak leg that was happening for no reason. There was no pain in it. It just had no strength at all. It was just failing. I mean, it was growing. Each day it was getting worse and worse and worse. So she's on TV and they're saying, all right, so God's going to heal people. So when I call out the body part for you, I want you to put your hand on that body part and claim that healing for your own. I remember, I know exactly where I was sitting. I was wearing my robe. I had a coffee cup in my hand watching the TV. And I'm just listening. I'm listening for my body part. Guess what? I'm in faith. I wouldn't have been listening for her to call out my body part if I wasn't in faith. Not even knowing I was in faith. But my actions proved that I was in faith. And so I'm sitting there and she says, and legs and knees. I'm going, in the name of Jesus, I receive that healing for my own. And then we went on. I didn't feel anything because there wasn't any pain in my body. It just had no strength. And so I go on. Do you know what? That thing left and my leg was as strong as could be. I totally forgot about it after that. And I'm going up and down stairs, not even thinking. And all of a sudden I go, that leg is healed. That lady healed my leg. Over the TV set. Why? Faith was present. Even if criticism was coming out. Faith was present. I hoped it was true, and so I obeyed it. Amen? We can't put God in a box. We can't. And what I really want to do is help us to not try to assess whether or not it worked.
Amen.
Are you with me? Don't walk by sight. Don't walk by feelings. Truth. And I can't tell you how to do this. I'm only noticing that it's happening. But something in my heart, like I was telling Pastor Trey, it's like my carnal mind was leading me. You know, it's just normal to try to get it saved and try to get it born again or whatever you do with your natural way of thinking, renewing your thoughts, you know, kind of a thing. And then I got the spiritual mind of Christ, the spiritual man that's in my heart and telling stuff. And the more I do what he says, and the more that I let him be God, and I just don't try to work out the disappointments and why it didn't work, I just leave them alone and just keep plugging away, knowing that it's true, but it hasn't popped through yet. And now pretty soon it's like this, and then pretty soon it gets to be like this, that I can shut down my natural mind quicker, and now it's starting to do this. Just ever so slightly, it's starting to go this way, that I'm now at the place where I actually believe God more than I believe what I see out of my eyeballs and I can perceive in the natural realm. My heart is actually believes God more now. And so look how many years I've been a Christian and walking this stuff out and studying the Bible and having miracles happen and spiritual giftings, and my heart is only just now actually believing the kingdom of God is more real than this natural. Because it takes us walking it out. We each have to dig out the brass.
Amen.
Each one of us has to believe God is telling the truth and press into it. Amen? God is going to reveal himself in all of us in a great and mighty way. He is going to, when he comes, we're all going to know it. And his glory, as it gets closer, is going to ignite our glory, which is him in us. And that we're going to get brighter and brighter and brighter just as he is, so that when he gets here, we will shine just the same way he shines in glory and in life. And that life that he is will be our life, which will completely overshadow this natural world, completely overtake it. And then the eternal life will be the only life that we know after that. And every tear, every sorrow will be wiped away, every bit of remorse, every memory of burden or anything will be gone, because the life that's eternal will completely be the only life that we're living by, which is many, many, many times greater than this life. But until that day, we believe God and we press in and we lay hold of the kingdom of God. And I want to say this. Let's look at Peter real quick. 1 Peter. I want to share something that a lot of us fall short in, that I don't think you guys are going to fall short in it anymore. I got a feeling that something is changing. The Lord is showing me that he is taking us to a higher level, that we're going to start manifesting the things of God easier, faster now. Easier, faster. We still have to press in. We still have to believe God. But it's going to be easier and faster now. It's changed in the spirit. It just has. And we're going to be easier, faster. But as Pastor Trey read Psalms 91 and we quoted it with him, we have to abide under the shadow of the Most High. It's up to us to really, like I was sharing at the Covington's Bible study on Tuesday night, for those of you that were there, it is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It's really important right now for all of us to really befriend the Holy Spirit and learn, how does he teach you? How does he talk to you? How does he lead you? And you grow in that relationship with him. Because, listen, it's going to happen easier, faster now. Because I'm just telling you straight, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And it's not going to be three more generations from now. It is our generation. He is coming, and we will be the ones that when he appears, our glory is, his glory is going to appear in us. And we are going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And we are going to be the ones that were alive on the earth when the Lord came and are transformed. And then those natural people that follow after us, because there will be a earth, we will be in a class all of our own. We will be the ones that were on the earth when the transformation took place. We'll be able to relate to human men more than anyone. When the devil is put away and the people are on the earth, we will be able to talk to them and teach them, because we lived through it, you guys. Amen. We knew what it was like to be just with a little bit of light hanging on and walking it out, and then a lot of light and no troubles anymore. We are those people. I'm telling you, you are that person that will see the return of the Lord and walk in the fullness of His glory. Don't take this lightly. This is serious, a real commitment to who you are in Christ. We don't just live our days anymore. We pursue the manifestation of the kingdom of God right now. And all of us have to press into that. It's our reality. It's our right as sons and daughters of God. None of you, not even one, shall be set to the side unless you don't want to be there. But anyone that wants to be there is invited to come. The Lord is really, really serious about this. He's coming. So for your question, Melba, your question was this. So shouldn't we be out ministering, winning souls? See, she said about 6 years ago, she realized she couldn't do it, she couldn't do it, couldn't do it. And about 6 years ago, the Lord showed her that she could, and she's led about 500 people to the Lord, she said. Praise God.
Amen.
It's not a game of numbers or anything like that. It's a being obedient to the call that's in your heart. And God's not the one withholding Himself. God's not the one divvying it out. What do you want? And go get it. But you will have three that oppose you. And you have to know that all three of those you have to bring into submission to you. That is the devil, the spirit of this world, and your own flesh. You have to make all of them submit. And I don't mean by some harshness, in the truth of the rest of God, that you actually are anointed of God. You actually are a chosen of God. Are you in Peter? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. I want to read this first, and then I got another verse in Peter. Are you ready?
Ready.
Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Each one of us needs to do this. To gird up the loins of our mind. The loins are the procreative part of our physical body. So therefore, we have to take authority over what's coming through our minds. We have to take authority over the procreative thoughts that we have, the ones that create. So here's what happens. At first, when I would see somebody coming and I go, oh no, I've shut that down completely because I'm not the one that heals them. But I listen to the one who heals them, who is me in me as himself in me, the Spirit of God, who I'm one with. And I let Him lead me, and I see more results now. But listen, if I don't stay built up in the Word, in worshiping Him, in praying in the Holy Spirit, I forget. And then that fear and those thoughts of the world have more power that I have to, it takes longer and harder to push them down. But if I stay in the Word and stay praying in tongues and stay my focus on increasing the kingdom of God, it's way easier. There's less troubles that I have to endure. You know what I'm saying? So look at this in verse 8, and then I want to just read one more scripture. Excuse me, 18 I think it is. Yes. Why do we keep our thoughts sober? Why do we have to control our thoughts? Look at this. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers. From your aimless conduct received by the traditions of your fathers. Know what he's saying. and this is what makes witnessing easy. Our natural human fathers and mothers teach us how to be natural human beings. That's aimless conduct. That's not knowing what your purpose is. That's not knowing what you were created for. It's just spending days on this temporary earth in a temporary life. Because they can't give you that purpose. Only the Holy Spirit of God can do that. And that we need to be redeemed from that aimless conduct. We got to have, why did God make you? I just told you, for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you'd be sanctified by His Spirit, that you can obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Groom that. Remind yourself of that. That you are the vessel of the Most High God. You are the temple of God. You are the habitation of God Himself. You are anointed and called. You are His chosen generation. You actually are. And all the things that are inside of us that say differently, we just shut them off, set them aside, and go ahead and go be that person. Just go ahead and go be that person anyway. One last verse and we'll leave. I forgot where it was. Anyway, it says that we need to put on Christ and we need to redeem the time. That it's up to us to press into the kingdom of God. It's up to us to do that. Amen?
Amen.
So how do you do it? By realizing that it's the Holy Spirit in us and letting Him lead us into this thing. Amen?